host of The Lowdown, Alan Mitchell, joins us.
I will say this, the Daniel Bouchard mask as an Atlanta Flame is fabulous.
It is actually very good. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, it's top drawer. It might be the best mask ever.
You know what? I've seen some of the competitions on that, and I would agree with you. That mask. Now, Cheever's had some pretty good ones, too.
And he's a Bruin. Yeah. So, you know, that gives him extra status.
For some people. Right? For some people,
for
yes.
For everybody.
Lots to discuss. The Oilers are 6-2 against teams on the second of back-to-back nights, on home ice anyway, this year. So they've, for the most part, taken care of business, losing the Rangers and the Stars. The Preds come in last night with their backup goalie, defeated Calgary. Now they will get their starting goalie in and their number one defenseman. If you want to look at it, PK Subban will return to the lineup tonight.
Yeah, I think the only problem that I have with saying that Rene is the starting goaltender, I think the backup is outplaying him a little bit. But having said that, Rene's record against Edmonton has been ridiculous. The Subban thing is interesting because the Predators, they're a better team than they've shown, but they've had a lot of injuries and the goaltending has been a little off. But this Subban thing is interesting because he's been successful in his very, very short time. He hasn't played the Oilers a whole lot, but he's been successful. He's got that howitzer, so Oilers best be staying out of the penalty box, I think.
For sure. Pekka Rinne has won his last six straight against the Oilers, has a .965 save percentage and a one goal against average in that span. So obviously they're going to have to be testing him tonight. And I would expect a pretty big rebound game from the Oilers because they did not play well at all. Even though they won, they did not play well on Wednesday.
Yeah, the great thing is, it really, and I'm not lying, it's a great thing. The Oilers can play a game where they're not their best. They only show up for spurts and fits and starts, and they can still win against pretty good teams, and that's new. Like they've had games in the past where a really good team came in and didn't play well, and the Oilers got them on a good night and won. But the Oilers are now playing well enough to win games where they couldn't pass the puck. They had no kind of execution. Even their set plays didn't really work, and they still won the hockey game. And you can say, well, they had to do it in overtime, but they did it, and that does count for 2 points in the standings. So there's lots of encouraging little things, but one of them is that the Oilers can play less than their best and still win games against pretty good teams.
It is a good sign, for sure. And rarely are you going to play a full 60 minutes, but honestly, they probably played like 10 minutes in that game against Florida. And Todd McClellan was not overly happy with that. I talked to him today. He was a lot more calm, but he was pretty fired up after that game against Florida, and how his team played. Was not happy with it at all. So I would expect a better performance from them tonight, for sure. Quickly going to the NFL, who do you like this weekend and why?
I like Green Bay just because I like the storyline of Rodgers. Just to me, the entire idea of this being Green Bay's year appeals to me. And then on the other side, I like the New England story too. Whoever wins this should be a really good Super Bowl. But the idea of New England playing Green Bay has all kinds of appeal for me. Green Bay's had years where they looked good and didn't get there. Maybe this is their year, but it really kind of felt all year to me like it was going to be. This is kind of a legacy game for New England, and I think they end up winning the Super Bowl.
The Patriots, Al?
Yeah.
Do you kiss your wife with that mouth? Jeez.
Like I said, look, I'm an Eagles fan. Give me a break. I can offend you, Majot, Travis Yost, all the Buffalo Bills fans, all the Miami fans. You're going to let me pass that up? No way. I'm going for it. New England wins this year and next year. What do you think of that?
Well, that's just stupid talk. That's just what that is. No, New England's obviously a very good organization. But the Steelers' big three, oof. The Chiefs' defense kept that game so much closer than it really was. They were running up and down the field with ease until they got to the red zone. And New England's defense isn't as good, but, of course, New England's offense is way better than KC's offense. I'm expecting pretty high-scoring games in both, actually.
Well, the quarterbacks are interesting, aren't they? Like, Atlanta has a great offense, and we've seen what Green Bay can do. And then on the other side of it is, I think the Steelers go in knowing they're probably going to have to score 10 more points than normal just to make up for the defense. And then with with New England, they're you know, I mean, it's not like it's you know, peak Brady, but I still think they can put up the points, and they have a lot of arsenal. It's interesting to see how the injuries will impact. I know Green Bay obviously doesn't have all of their cannons going in the right direction because of that, but it'll be interesting to see who plays and who doesn't play and who ends up, you know, playing and not being 100% on Sunday.
Al Mitchell joins us. Al, looking at the Oilers overall, what's your evaluation of Brandon Davidson right now?
I like him. I think he's not played well. He hasn't played as Brandon Davidson can all year, but he's had injuries. The problem, he's in a bad spot right now because the Oilers are going to protect Sekera, Klefbom, and Larson. And so those are the three guys. If you protect a fourth, it's probably Davidson. And then maybe you signed Russell after the expansion draft. But the likelihood is they're going to protect seven forwards, three defensemen, because Patrick Maroon is going to get protected. So Davidson is, he's not in a good spot as far as the organization is concerned, because they may have to trade him after the year or even at the deadline. But he hasn't played 100% yet. He's getting better every game by my eye. Now, his pairing didn't have a great game the other night, but I think Eric Greiba was just, not feeling it. He just did not, play. I like Eric Greiba. He did not have one of his better games, and I think Davidson was kind of on the ice and a little bit of a victim there. But I like Davidson. He's not back to where he was. The good thing is the Oilers don't have to force it because they've got two pretty good pairings in front of them.
Yeah, I look at Davidson, and, he's at the point now where you want to see him maybe take a step back to where he was last year. The one thing I've noticed with him, his decisions with the puck this year haven't been as crisp.
Yeah, and that's I don't know whether it's a matter of the style of outlet passing, or the forwards are coming down in a different way, or they're trying to get that head man pass in a certain direction. But the way they played last year seemed to work better for Davidson, and I can't figure out whether they've changed it or Davidson still isn't back to where he was. But it does appear to me is that he's not as effective at passing the puck as he was in the past. And it might also be that Darnell Nurse is out, and Nurse being out really hurts the Oilers because the opposition doesn't have to defend the guy who's going to just wheel it out and make you miss just because he's fast enough, and that helps all the pairings. So probably a combination of all three things. But I think Davidson will get there. It's just that he's not back to 100% yet. He's not, he's still sort of in that getting up to par that he hasn't been in for a while because he keeps getting injured.
Well, that definitely hurts any player, I think, just finding some continuity for sure. The Pouliot Nugent Hopkins Eberle line, I don't know. Nugent Hopkins believes it's the power of his mustache that has gotten him back on track, if you call it that. We've got a lot of texts saying they would call that the baseball mustache, nine on each side. But either way, that line, Eberle, of course, scoring was a huge lift. But, like, Benoit Pouliot has been more effective. Even though he hasn't scored, he's been more effective lately.
Yeah, he has. And I've been defending him all down the line, and he keeps taking these crazy penalties. And I think two things. I think the referees are sort of watching for him because he is that player. And I think he might have it in his mind, don't take a penalty, don't take a penalty. And sometimes if you do that, you end up doing what you're not supposed to do. So I think Pouliot, he's back to being almost where he was. And he needs to shoot more because his shooting percentage isn't terrible. He just hasn't shot that much. But I do like him on that line. I do like him playing a lot. If he can play on the third or second line, and Lucic can play on the third or second line, whichever one he's not on, and then you've got Maroon on the top line, that's pretty good. I mean, if you're entering the playoffs, which we can probably start talking about soon, that's not a bad left wing depth chart.
No, not at all. Obviously, you'd like a little bit more consistent scoring from Pouliot and Lucic, and they're in a little bit of a funk right now. And if they can get out of it, Pouliot, I think, is playing better. Lucic, I'd like to see a little bit more from him because I understand that his play on the wall has been very good, right? Like, he doesn't lose many battles in his own zone. You see him in the offensive zone. Like, he still can just so easily overpower opposing players and knock them off the puck, which is a small factor in his game. But yeah, I would like to see him, at least generate a few more chances.
Yeah, and he's also doing things that are not like I've watched Lucic's whole career, and this year maybe 25 times he skated the puck up into the neutral zone and then paused and lost the puck, and that's not Lucic's game. He either aggressively gets to center, shoots it in, or makes it. He's really good at passing in the neutral zone. He can make really good passes to teammates, and I'm not sure whether he's comfortable yet. And I know that sounds crazy because he's been here since October, but sometimes with guys coming in, it takes a while. He's a way better player as a passer in the neutral zone than he's shown, and also in the offensive zone. He's got a lot more. He's actually an excellent passer, and we've only seen some of that this year. He's way better in that area than he's showing.
Oscar Klefbom has no penalty minutes. He's played 1,000 minutes this year. Him and John Carlson both have no penalty minutes. Carlson's played 984 minutes. The thing about Klefbom, though, very quietly, he is now up. He's seventh in the NHL in shots on goal for defensemen. Right? Like, he's got 7 goals, which has tied him for 11th. His assists are up very high. That's why he's not with the top scorers. But you know, his shooting ability and ability to get shots off has been a massive improvement this year.
Yeah, and he's not a shrinking violet. I mean, he's not as physical as Larson is, but you know, Klefbom can win battles. So I'm kind of surprised that he doesn't have at least a few minor penalties, but that probably will come. As far as his shot's concerned, it's really good, and he's obviously using it more this year. I've seen games where he's had 5 or 6 shots in a single game, which is, you know, for any Oilers defenseman to do that is unusual. But this is a guy who was drafted and developed by the Oilers, and he seems to have some ability in that area. Sometimes it takes time for a young defenseman to emerge offensively. They're getting to the NHL, and they're just trying to stay in the NHL and not get, you know, sent down or moved down the depth chart. So, you know, I think he's sort of coming into his own a little bit there offensively. What I like about him is that he's not just shooting more, but he's lugging the puck up more. And he's not a speedster, but he can kind of, you know, negotiate the rapids a little bit. And that's when you know you've got something good, because all the Habs defensemen used to do that. They'd skate the puck up the ice and they'd become another forward. And Klefbom has that gear, and boy, it sure will help the Oilers if he does it consistently.
Al, what would you do with your goalie tomorrow night?
Jeez. Okay. I'm going to say I'd play Talbot, and here's why. I don't think Coach McClellan is confident in the backup goaltender. So I think you should get to a position where Laurent Brossoit is being started in a game where Todd McClellan feels like he's comfortable with him. And I don't know what he's seen in practice. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But if you look at Todd McClellan, when he's ready to put a guy in, he'll say things like, he's looked really good in practice. I talked to the coaches. Things are really positive. We feel really good about this. Something is keeping him from saying that. I don't know what it is, but I would say based on his verbal, I would go with Talbot both games this weekend.
And then would you go him back-to-back again Wednesday, Thursday?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
There's no faith in Brossoit.
Well, I don't see it. I mean, I think Brossoit has done enough in the minor leagues. He's had 4 years now of a save percentage around .920. If you take out the 3 games that he was very poor in around Christmas to New Year's, he's at .923 this year, which is consistent with his record over several years. So, yeah, I think he should get an opportunity, and it's probably tomorrow night in Calgary, because no disrespect to Calgary, but they're the weakest link in the 4 games that they still have to come. But I just go back to the coach. The coach is the coach is the coach. He's the guy who, you know, those are his 2 points. If he loses those 2 points, then, you know, it's on his record. And if he loses enough of them, then there's another coach. So I always listen very carefully to what the coach says. And I get the feeling that there's something going on there. And I don't know what it is. I'm not suggesting injury or anything like that. There's just not a comfort level there yet. And I would probably go with Talbot in all the games.
LT, have yourself a great weekend.
Okay, I'm going to have to go talk to about 50,000 people who are mad at me because I didn't defend Corsi just now, but that's okay.
Well, you know what? Something tells me, Al, it'll only be about 5 people.
All right.
The Oilers are winning. People are calmer now.
That's true. You know, right? That's a very good point. They all have a tendency to be a little less outraged. Of course, if they lose tonight, we're back to dough. You know that.
Oh, well, every now and then you need a bad loss just to get people fired up. Probably happen tomorrow night, maybe in Calgary. As the Oilers, here's a fun little tidbit for you, Al. The Oilers tomorrow could go for their first ever sweep of the Battle of Alberta.
You know, that is something to I will raise a glass if they do it, and I will thank the hockey gods, because it's been a long battle. The Flames have owned this century. The Flames have basically owned the Oilers.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, they have.
So that would be a nice one. That would be an actually, that's an interesting thing to look forward to tomorrow night. And the Oilers are ordinarily not at their best on a Saturday night national game, so maybe they'll turn that around too.
Yeah, we shall see what happens. Thanks, LT.
Hey, have a great weekend, bud.
You betcha.